Some days call for some oomph to amplify your everyday look. Like when you want the look of false lashes without the extra effort. Reach for Thrive Cosmetics Liquid Lash Volumizer Mascara. Or when you want all eyes on your smile, keep Empower Gloss Ultra Glossy Lip Serum in your bag. It's a burst of 24-hour hydration that smooths like a serum, shines like a gloss, and can be worn sheer or layered. You'll also look and feel your best with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin, not against it. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about, too. Amplify your everyday. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/shine26 for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/shine26.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Humans may well be traveling as far as the moon in the next few years, and after that, perhaps Mars. That's a long trip and may well involve a large crew of different genders. So, you know what it's like, a bit bored in deep space, maybe a few glasses of interstellar vodka, and who knows what might happen, which is why some thought is being given to the mechanics of zero-G nookie. Is it possible? How would you even go about it? Niamh Shaw has been in zero-gravity environments, but in a completely PG setting. Niamh, good afternoon to you.
Yes, I can verify completely PG. Yes, good morning. Good afternoon, Sean.
Good afternoon. But I suppose that, like, I suppose it's a reasonable thing to consider, especially on long missions.
Yeah, no, it comes up a lot, but it is, I mean, if you go through the practicalities, so having experienced one of these parabolic flights, you know, where you experience like 40 seconds of kind of free fall, which feels like what the astronauts feel on board, say, the International Space Station. Mechanically, it's very difficult, right? So I remember seeing a friend of mine, he did this art piece about trying to hug in space. And so if you actually, you know, tense your arm muscles to hug someone, you go in the opposite direction. So we take gravity completely for granted. So in all walks of life, That's difficult straight off the bat. But like in more serious terms, like people on board the International Space Station, so you've got microgravity. They're also under complete scrutiny, like 24 hours a day. They're very, very busy. And also it's incredibly dangerous. So I don't even know if you go to that part of your brain when you're orbiting Earth on the International Space Station. But you bring up an interesting thing about, like, so say, for instance, you're on the moon for a fair bit of time, or you're on Mars for a fair bit of time and your body's acclimatized. So the other things is, and these are facts that we know, is that our planet protects us from an awful lot of cosmic radiation. So radiation effects would be very dangerous. Say, for instance, you were to do a little bit of nookie and the woman were to become pregnant. That's kind of, you're getting into dodgy territory there, basically. Mm. And also they've done some preliminary tests on, you know, trying to get animals to reproduce on the International Space Station, shorthand ISS. And there's been abnormalities. So it's a kind of a grey area, because it brings up, as you can imagine, all sorts of ethical considerations. So space tourism is coming down the way. I'm sure people will want to know, when they're on their holidays orbiting, you know, on the space station, can they engage or not? So there is room to start talking about it, all right. But actually how you test it is very difficult, because the zero gravity experience that I had was like 40 seconds at a time. I don't know about you, but what can you achieve in 40 seconds? I mean, that's a bit of a push, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so like, I don't even know. And then what they do to simulate microgravity, say for spacesuits, when astronauts have to go on spacewalks, they use these deep pools that are like 20 meters deep, called neutral buoyancy facilities. So they have one in NASA Johnson, they have one in the Astronaut Center in Germany, that's the ESA facility, and then they have one in Star City as well, where the cosmonauts train. But you'd be wearing a spacesuit for that. So like, you know, in a swimming pool, how feasible is it to make love or whatever? Difficult. So I don't know how you can simulate that. And the only other way they try to measure, you know, the effects of microgravity on the body is they'll do things called bed rest studies. So that's where people lie in bed and do not move. So they're checking their horizontal effect of like no forces on the body for, I don't know, 6-10 weeks at a time. So, and then the other thing I would say is that in all of these studies, they tend to remove women from the survey group because of women's menstrual cycle, because of the difference in their hormones. That's another factor that can contribute to the complexity or the you know, misinterpretation of the data.
So interesting. So
it is really interesting. Yeah. So a friend of mine now, she works over in Texas and she studies women's health in space exclusively. It's very complex. So women, just so you know, women who go on missions, say to the International Space Station or to the moon or whatever, you know, they choose to take birth control for their own safety as well. And obviously they can't be pregnant when they go on board. And then there's been some other studies that showed that astronauts for long duration missions, that their own testosterone levels tend to reduce. So I don't even know if people are in the mood up there.
For the now, just on the menstrual cycle thing, yes. I assume they must have some evidence whether it affects it or not.
Well, it would. I mean, the other thing it would be difficult in terms of thrombosis, clotting. You know, it's just an added difficulty and an added complication. So usually female astronauts choose to just sort of say, look, we don't want to participate in that way. There's also the practicality of waste. There's also the practicality of pregnancy prevention should something happen. But when you're in microgravity, your body is not in the best shape for pregnancy. So you have basically, you know, no forces acting on your body. So what happens is that your muscles tend to atrophy or waste away, and the density of your bones tends to kind of decrease as well because there's no forces acting on it. So they have to work out for 2 hours a day just to maintain some level of muscular kind of strength. So, so there's all that as well. There has been some tests about using menstrual cups in space-like conditions, but nothing really significant. So, it's just a whole minefield. It's a minefield.
Yeah.
It
so really is. Leaving aside the conception part of it, even from what you said, the mechanics of moving through a weightless environment is like. What happens to your body is that the opposite to what you expect if you put opposite. Out your arms.
Yeah. Yeah. So like it was mental. Like I was when I did it, you know, it's incredibly fun, but you're also scared at the same time. So the closest thing to it is kind of like learning to ride a bicycle while swimming at the same time. You get like a nanosecond of understanding and then it's gone, you know, so you're trying to make sense of what's happening to your body. So that's what most astronauts have to put up with for the first couple of weeks that they're there. So like sleeping, eating, working, is really difficult for them, but your movements have to be extremely small or else you'll go really far. So you have to recalibrate how you move. And if you don't put any, when the plane would go into the free fall for 40 seconds, if I did nothing, my body would just stay on the ground, but I would have to do something in order for it to kind of move. And then I would do too much. You know, it was very hard to understand. So like what I said, that friend of mine, an artist who did this beautiful piece of work about hugging in space. And it was just really, they hadn't anticipated how hard it was. And the only way to stay hugging is if you actually grip each other. So that's not very romantic,
yeah,
you know. So even sleeping in space is difficult, you know. They have to tether themselves, so you either sleep up against a wall with kind of Velcro, your sleeping bag is covered in Velcro, and some of them don't like that, so a lot of them prefer to float, but then you have to be tethered. But, you know, because you could bang off a wall or anything. It's like sleeping in a garage. There's all these rough edges everywhere.
Yeah, that'll really put you in the mood, all right. is it the year after next they're hoping to at least do a circuit of the moon?
No. I mean, we're going to the moon. So we were supposed to be going this Sunday. And that's just an orbit of four astronauts. First woman ever, first person of color, first Canadian on his first ever space mission. But they got into trouble yesterday. They were testing the rocket and they have to do like a full dress rehearsal right up until like,
you know, they press the button to go. And it's just very difficult. That one of the fuels that they use is hydrogen, and it's so small, it's very bouncy, it's very hard to contain. So they always run into difficulties with it. So they've postponed it now to March. But so they'll be going. Like, we will have humans orbiting the moon this year in the next month or so. But humans landing on the moon, I mean, they're saying it's going to happen by 2028. But the whole thing about space is it takes way longer because everything is difficult. It's extremely dangerous. And these rockets are incredibly complex. So I would say at least 4 or 5 years before we see that.
Yeah. For landing on the moon, Is there any designs for what a lunar module might look like, or is it just the same design as the old one?
No, that's a great question. So this is why I think it is going to be difficult. So it's a whole new concept. So you have a new rocket called the Space Launch System, which is adapted from the Space Shuttle rocket. So if you remember that, it's like orange with two kind of small rockets on the side, and then they have a little capsule on the top, which is the Orion capsule. So that's great for orbiting the moon, but they don't have a lander in there. And so the previous moon landings, the whole assembly was in the rocket, and then they did this incredible kind of maneuver where they put the lander at the front of their little capsule. They went in and they did that. That's the old way. The new way is to engage SpaceX. So SpaceX have their huge rocket Starship, which they're testing at the moment. And their idea is that they launch Starship. That goes around a little bit. And in order to have enough fuel to go to the moon and return it to the capsule, they have to refuel in orbit. It's never been done before. So they set up another Starship. They refuel that. And then that lands on the moon. And the Orion capsule that they'll be in meets up with the human lander system, which is the Starship, lands on the moon, gets back up, goes back into the Orion capsule and comes back. And then the next iteration, what they'll do is they start to design then a space station called Gateway, which orbits the moon. And then Blue Origin are designing a little lander very similar to the lander that we would have seen, you know, in the Apollo, but the actual system is slightly different. So they've got to figure out all this stuff, and in the vacuum of space and covered in radiation and with extremely complex kind of a mega engineered system. So,
oh yeah. Is it likely they're going to, you know, as they did in all the previous moon landings, that someone's left up in the module by themselves?
Oh, yes. Yes, 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 there has to be.
I was sorry for them, really.
I know, yeah, they kind of, the short straw, really, don't they?
Yeah.
But then they say, you know, Michael, what's his name again?
The first guy, the Irish guy, or yeah, the Irish-American.
Michael, what was his name? My brain's gone. Anyway, he said it was lovely because he was able to look down on Earth and he had the place to himself completely, you know? So, yeah, you know, there's pros and cons, I guess, you know, but they train for different things. So they're excited because they have their own remit of what they have to do. So, you know, they're happy. But yeah, I mean, it must be amazing to get on the moon.
Yeah. Now, as you pointed out, Niamh, it's virtually impossible to test how to have sex in space, but that hasn't discouraged many of our listeners who are volunteering for the next research program. Niamh, thanks a million as ever. That was science communicator Niamh Shaw there. You are listening.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.